These are the Keshi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Keshi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Hey, everybody. John Hewlett here. My partner is...
Favaz.
Also known as the Mighty Favaz.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. And we're here to do episode 44 of the Keshi Tapes. And today's subject matter is an interview that Favaz did with Slash.
Slash. He's going to be headlining our Pig Roast, which is our big concert this coming Saturday, August the 10th. And I've interviewed Slash a bunch of times. I've met him a bunch of times. I don't have the date on this one. I know that he was playing Pops that evening. I remember being there. So I'm guessing this was early 2000s, maybe late 90s, but I'm thinking early 2000s.
And Guns N' Roses was in what state at that time?
They were in a state of, I don't want to say flux, but he was not in the band at all. Either was Duff. It was probably Axl and all of the other guys that he had. I don't even know if they were going out touring at that time. They probably were. I don't think Chinese Democracy had been released yet. So they weren't, as far as Slash and Axl speaking, they were not speaking to one another whatsoever.
Yes. Because that lasted for a long time.
They didn't
speak to each other.
It sure did. Yeah. And it took lots of money and a phone call to get them back together to do it. So, but, you know, Slash is a really good interview. He says kind of funny things in a way. In this one, I think he was still drinking. Like his overall life, he was still drinking. I don't know if he was using, but he doesn't do anything anymore. Because he had to quit, or else he was going to die.
Yeah.
And I read his book too. I mean, it was just all really good. But you'll be able to hear it here.
Yeah, then. And he's a soft-spoken person too.
He is, especially on the phone. Yeah. You'll hear it here. And right off the bat, John, you'll love it because he talks about my name.
Ah, I love when these artists have, where'd you get a name like that? They're amazed by your name.
I know. And like I said, this was probably the second or third time that I've interviewed him. And, you know, I don't expect him to remember much, but he brings up my name again.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny.
All right, here we go.
All right.
The Mighty Favaz and Slash.
How you doing, man?
Hi, man. I can hardly hear you.
Oh, really?
A little bit, yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
Where did you get that name?
My last name is Favaza with an A on the end, I just cut the A off. And
from my vantage point, it sounds like somebody who gets really dressed up, like real spiffy, and goes to discos.
Okay. Where do you come up with that? And, and he also said, from my vantage point. Now, vantage point is usually like when you're looking out and I'm looking and I see. What?
Maybe he did have his hand above his eyes. He was just looking around. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I've never thought of your name that way. But then I'm tainted because I know that Favaz's restaurants. And
right.
Favaz is a well-known name and entrepreneur in this area. So. I can see from
it's
the outside. They
pretty funny.
Yeah,
I guess.
They have they don't have that reference that we have.
Yeah,
that's funny. All right, let's start here. I'll just I'm taping this, by the way, so
okay.
I'm gonna play it later today.
Oh, that means I can say fuck.
You can if you like. Like last time when you were in town, you did live on the air, which was
no. I'm not really that. For some reason, I guess I don't know. I'm not that bad anymore.
All right, here we go. KC95 Real Rock Radio. I got him on the phone. Slash from Slash the Snake Pit. What's up, dude?
Oh, not much. What am I doing? I'm recuperating from a pretty uneventful evening last night, so we had to sort of improvise.
Yeah?
So I'm recuperating from that.
How can you recuperate from an uneventful evening, though?
Well, uneventful meant that the town that we were in, there's nothing really going on, which means you have to make things go on.
Yeah.
It's all illegal.
There you go.
Yes, see? I know what you mean.
In other words, professionally finding out how to get yourself into trouble. He's probably
usually
very good
at
that.
Usually they do that at the hotel, yeah.
Yes.
Last time you were here, you had a day off and you ended up on the east side. Over at the strip clubs, and actually that's where you're going to be playing kind of tomorrow night.
If I remember correctly, yeah.
Yeah, it's called Pops, / Snake Pit with Conquest tomorrow night. And some tickets remain, but not many. It's almost sold out. And yeah, that's where you were last time you were here. I think you were out there till like 6 in the morning.
It always surprises me that somebody of his stature would end up at Pops. Now, Pops is a fine venue for a lot of artists, but somebody with a name like that, to me, a pageant automatically comes to mind.
Right. And he's played there.
Yeah.
But I can't really say I know why. I mean, it was, you know, you heard me say Slash's Snake Pit, so this was still his first band after Guns N' Roses, if you will. Maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, that's what we do, is we pick out all the best places that, you know, to hang out at. And then when it comes down to actually doing the actual show, we know where to, when it comes to booking the gigs, we know where to book them.
You can just stumble from the gig.
Madness, that way.
You stumble from the gig to the strip club, so that's a good thing. Hey, are you feeling all right? Because didn't you have to drop off the AC/DC tour?
It was, you know, it seems a lot harsher than it really was, but what it was a matter of bad timing. You know, all of a sudden getting sick at a time when you had to make a decision as to whether you could leave or not. And it wasn't really my decision to make. It was my doctor's.
Did you have pneumonia or something?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like sort of an extreme version of it because I've been carrying it around for a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
And probably partying doesn't help, Slash, does it?
That's what you tell yourself. And you walk around for about, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, you know, believing that. And then finally it turns around and it goes, no, you know, wrong answer. You know.
So instead of walking pneumonia, he had rocking pneumonia, I guess.
Oh, that's a good one, John.
Thank you.
You know, thankfully it came at a time where you know, at least I'm not pushing daisies or anything.
Ah, very good. We're talking to Slash on Casey. Once again, Snake Pit's playing at Pops tomorrow night. And also, you have one of those in-store signing things to do at a place called Vintage Vinyl.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. We've only done a couple of those this tour because of the fact that it can get a little hectic.
Right.
So we've managed to put together a strategy, or a strategic way of doing it so that we get everything done, we don't get too crazy, the people don't get too crazy, and everybody walks away happy, and it doesn't take too long. The hardest thing about it, really, when it comes down to it, is that it takes a long time, and it's usually on the day of the show.
Right, right. It's going to be...
I hate it when you have to, like, you know, turn kids away and go, sorry, I didn't make it in time.
Right. It's going to happen at 5 o'clock tomorrow, Vintage Vinyl on Del Mar. And, right. Yeah, I would imagine it does get crazy because, man, people definitely want to meet you and get your autograph.
It's just nice. It's a compliment, you know. You feel like really in touch with the people that actually are going to come down and see you, and they always usually have a lot of nice things to say.
Absolutely.
And you can see people face-to-face in sort of still a rock and roll atmosphere because you're in a rock and roll store, but at the same time it's outside of the club.
You know,
more on a street level.
What's kind of funny is that this past Tuesday, Slash, was the 10-year anniversary of the riot at Riverport, and here you are in town.
Yep.
So it's 2001.
Yep.
So that was the year we're talking.
Right. You know what? Okay, so then I'm not an idiot.
No, it was 10 years ago on July 2nd.
I think it was about 2 or 3 days ago. I was on the tour bus, and I was going, you know, it's ironic that I'm playing St. Louis, which I played St. Louis since then anyway.
Right, right.
And, you know, here I am going to be completely out in the open, having an in-store in St. Louis coming up. And they're going, but they love you in St. Louis.
That's right.
I know, but there's always that feeling that, you know, it's like, well, if we can't get the redhead, maybe we can get the other guy.
That's funny. Now, you know what's even funnier is, you know, this Casey Pig Roast, this concert that we're going to have on August 10th. He's going to be headlining, and that's the venue where it happened.
Yes.
And I don't think that he's been back there playing.
Since.
And I hope we get to ask him about it. It's not looking good right now as we record this thing. He's not even doing meet and greets or anything. Mm. So I'm hoping we get to ask him. But, you know, it's kind of fun. He's just a really nice guy. And he was like, oh, I've played St. Louis a bunch of times.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. Most people, and you wouldn't think this because he's very synonymous with Guns N' Roses, but I would imagine a lot of people just don't make the connection that he was a part of that. You know, I don't know.
I think Axl got all the attention because he started it and then he had to go to court over it.
Right.
And so when people think of the riot, they think of Axl.
Right.
But Slash was right there.
Slash was right
he
there.
He was right on stage
with
him.
And did Slash say anything negative about St. Louis afterwards, or did he kind of...
He did that night. When he was like, "Yeah, fuck you," or something, you know, like that.
Yeah,
I don't know that he said anything negative
afterwards
in the press. No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, maybe that's another reason why he gets a pass.
Yeah.
think that's going to happen now. We know what the problem was there. So
I think it's all very clear.
Yes,
we have a tape of that. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
A videotape.
Yeah,
the actual riot.
That was what we had when we made the riot video. Do you remember that?
No,
we posted it on our website, and then we got a cease and desist from the roadie who said take it down because you used my footage without asking, whatever, and we got it from somebody at the amphitheater.
Oh, that's right.
You know, but that's the footage he's talking about.
Oh.
It's good stuff.
Tape of it. And it's pretty uncomfortable for me to watch it. I don't think I watched it in its entirety. But it was taped by our photographer.
Yeah.
Who happened to have his video camera. You know how that story goes. Oh, right. I just happened to have my porta cam. Anyway, but so he taped it in the thick of it, so it's got all the movement. You know, the way that the camera zooms in on everything is in the same kind of energy as to what was happening around him. In other words, if somebody shoved him, the camera went this way, and then the camera went that way, and it was up and down and around and everything. And it was utter chaos.
That's different video.
That was different video.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it was a photographer. What we had and what we used was from a roadie who was mainly backstage. And you could see the band. They were like huddled and were wanting to go back out, you know, because we've heard that. And then it never happened.
It never happened.
Yeah.
Where would this video be now? I mean, it's a long time gone.
Vimeo? Are you familiar with Vimeo? V-I-M-E-O?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the guy that put the whole video together, Jim Modlin, our former video director, just put it out there. Mm-hmm. And I think you can search it and find it, maybe.
Yeah.
It's really good. I've got it on disc. We did an interview with Walter from B&D and Sunil, who was the number two at the amphitheater that night. And we interviewed Sebastian Bach about it because they opened for him. The Escape were open. It was a really well put together video.
Yeah.
And I think people would like it.
And you were there that night of the
riot.
And
I was there. Yeah. I was there and told my little story about it. And you know, hosted this thing, and we shot a lot of video out at the amphitheater. It was really cool.
Yeah,
you know,
that was one of the really sort of like in a negative way flukes of the entire history of the Guns N' Roses as a band, because no one would have expected that to happen.
Yeah,
you know, you just don't think that way.
Oh,
I mean, we're not fully.
No,
I'm surprised. Actually, I'm surprised it hasn't happened again to them. You know, when Axl went through this whole thing of not showing up on stage till like 2 o'clock in the morning for shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that anymore.
No,
because money talks.
Right.
But at the same time, if in the video, in our video that we made, we talked about, you know, the fact, you know, that everything will be okay. It'll just depend on how he is, and the he is Axl.
Right.
I remember Sunil Sinha saying that on the video. So they did all the prep that they could do. So they knew something could happen if he let it happen.
Right.
That's what he was talking about.
You know, all things considered, we're not the kind of guys that would incite something. And
now, wait a minute. You're telling me you don't think Axl is the type of guy that would incite something?
Good. Way to go after him, Foz. Yeah, buddy.
Hey, Johnny.
Axel's not the type of the guy that would incite. I don't know how many seats that place has.
20,000. 20,000.
20,000?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. It would incite a 20,000 person riot, not to mention destroy all our gear.
Right.
I mean, if he had that in mind beforehand, then I just didn't know him that well. You know? But I think when he got into it, it was a combination of a bad mood. He was having a rough time with security in the front row, which he relates to very closely, which I never pay much attention to, but he did.
Right.
And this guy with his camera. Like, we've never seen guys with cameras in front of our audience before. And so he put all that together as a way of postponing the rest of the show, because he probably didn't want to finish it anyway.
Right.
But he probably would have gone back to the dressing room, chilled out for 2 seconds, and we would have gone back on.
Which, as you said, the video shows they were considering.
They were ready
to
do that.
Yeah.
So what happened was, instead, he went out there, caused all the ruckus, and then we were forced to go into the dressing room. And I remember sitting with him in the dressing room, and then finally he said, you know, I saw a policeman on a gurney go by, and he wasn't looking too good.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's like one of those things, like out of the movies, where you open the door And it's like, and you close and it's silent.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
It was really sort of like surreal.
Well, what scene was worse?
This is pretty heavy. Whatever's going on out there is really heavy.
And you guys got the hell out of there then after that.
And then Alex all of a sudden turns around and he goes, let's go back on. And Izzy had left the building by then. Right? So me and Axel actually did attempt to walk out there to see if it was possible to go on. My amps were out on the grass way past the concession stands. I mean, the lighting truss was down, you know.
And right.
My guitar tech got hit in the head with something. He was in the hospital and so on and so forth. So our management stuck us in a little van, made us put our heads down, and we went all the way to Chicago.
Whoa. Yeah. In a van? They left the bus behind?
Yeah, they left because they knew they wouldn't be, you know, singled out. Like, if a bus pulls out of there, people are probably going to start banging on it. Well, they just went in a van, and they stuck their heads down, and they drove all the way to Chicago that night. Wow. And they had to cancel, they had to postpone their next show because they didn't have their equipment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Some guy in Jefferson County had it.
It's funny now, man, but at the time, I know, you were freaking out.
No, it's not even funny now. It really
it's funny how you got out of there. Not the people getting hurt, but
that
you had to be, you know, sneaked out of there.
And then we had to cancel a couple shows after that because
sure
we didn't have the equipment.
Well, which scene was worse, though, that one or the one in Toronto?
It wasn't Toronto. It was Montreal.
Montreal, that's right.
And that one was a little bit more, a little mellower. That was like, when that one happened, I was like, Christ, you know, not another one of these things.
Right.
And we were in the dressing room, and you could hear what it was the dressing room was on a lower level than the stage level. So you could just hear everybody pounding on the ceiling.
Wow.
And so that sound made it sound really scary. And so at one point I went out a back door and went, it's like a, this place is a hockey arena. Okay, so they got shops and all this on one level. Like
right.
There's a stage level, and there's a place where you can get, like, food, and there's hockey gear and all, you know, this kind of stuff that people hockey people buy. And what happened was I peeked through this door and looked at them looting the hockey shop.
Right.
And that was pretty much the extent of it. Once they got to that point,
they're going to loot the hockey shop in Canada.
Do you remember this one?
I remember reading about it. Yeah.
I believe this was the one where it was Guns N' Roses and Metallica touring, and James got hit with the flash pot and got burned, and Guns N' Roses could have saved the day and gone out early, and they went out late.
Yeah,
and then Axl did his thing again, where he just walked off the stage. He didn't want to play anymore, or his throat hurt, or whatever, and people started rioting.
Yeah,
the stage of beating anybody up. It was fucking the first guy who threw a rock and broke the window at this hockey store.
Wow.
And then he stood there for a while to see what the reaction would be, and nothing happened. So he ran in there, grabbed one piece of clothing, and then ran back to where the crowd was.
Wow.
And then once he'd done that and nothing happened, he ran back and did it again. He got two pieces or two articles of clothing. And then everybody started doing it. It was like mice, you know,
right.
in a pet store. It was really funny. And then slowly but surely, they completely emptied out the concession stand. But it wasn't as violent, you know,
as the Riverport one. And of course, that's the gig.
All I know is just don't mess with people in St. Louis.
Of course, that was the gig that we were talking about when James Hetfield of Metallica caught himself on fire.
Yeah, that was just a bad scene.
That was a bad.
I don't want to dwell on it.
Yeah, okay.
Meaning, for one. You know, we were supposed to cover for him and go on early. Instead, we went on 3 hours later than we were supposed to. So that whole thing.
Yeah.
It made it really hard for me to even talk to James for a while after that.
Just
because, you know, and it's never my fault, but it's one of those things that's still, you know.
Kind of like guilty by association in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, interesting, yeah.
Whose fault was it, Slash?
Yeah.
God, man. I mean, if you think about the way that Axl was back then, you know, as compared to what he is now, because he's gotten older.
Right.
And I was at that show a couple of years ago when they came back to St. Louis, and he really didn't say much. He was like, did you miss me? He said something like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was a different vibe. It was totally not the same.
Wonder how many times, probably numerous times, Slash had to cover for Axl in a lot of different situations, you know. I bet you that was probably one of the reasons why he quit talking to him after a while. He's probably just sick of his stuff, on top of what other business issues might have been going on.
Right. Slash has been always one of those guys that even if he was using heroin or whatever, he was always ready for the gig. Yeah. And he talked about that in his book. I remember reading his book. He was just always ready to go on time. Uh-huh. And here, he just said that that night they could have saved the day, but they went on 3 hours late.
Yeah.
And that's what pissed everybody off in Montreal.
And this was 2001. I wonder in 2019 what his association is with James Hetfield or the guys in Metallica.
I bet it's good now.
You think it's cleared up?
Yeah, I bet it's good now.
Yeah, guilt by association, perfectly. But anyway, enough dwelling on all that stuff. So if in case you were going to ask me any more guns questions.
I wasn't. Actually, I wasn't going to at all. And I was surprised that you, because I know you don't like to talk about it, but you just started talking about the riot, and it was the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, that was sort of the beginning of the end.
We're talking to Slash on Casey, and Snake Pit's playing it.
That was sort of the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end. But
of the band, I guess.
I think he was talking
a long hiatus, no?
I was talking about the interview. I think he was talking about the interview.
Oh.
I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Like I said, he says weird stuff. Yeah. He says weird stuff.
So. What's going to be different about the show tomorrow night, Slash, than when you opened up for AC/DC back in September? Other than you're going to play longer, probably.
Yeah, well, this is definitely different. That was a great tour, opening for AC/DC. It was a great way to really break the band open, you know, and get us out in front of an arena audience and see how well we go over with the record that wasn't really out that long.
Right.
I actually did the tour before the record even
came
out.
I don't think it was out yet.
So that took a lot of balls on our part. and just to go out and do it and see if we could pull it off, because in my memory, in all the years that I've seen AC/DC, I never could remember one opening band they ever had. And so after we signed the deal and said we were going to do this thing, I also knew in the back of my mind we could walk out there and it could be, you know, a big disappointment for the guys and at the same time just sort of like a reality check for me. But instead it turned out that we were really well received.
Yeah, you were.
You guys loved us and wanted to keep us on for the duration of the tour.
That's cool.
He just seems like a well-balanced individual mentally. To think that he had the issues that he had doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You hear him speak.
Like, just right there.
Yeah.
You listen to that whole thing, and you go, God, here's a guy that was hooked on heroin, and if you read his book, he did crazy, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And then today, he's clean as a whistle, and it's just kind of funny, yeah.
Sometimes it's a sign of a sick man, a sick person who could, you know, throw you off the trail so easily,
yeah.
Like this. I don't know.
But I've never heard like a bad thing about Slash.
No, you don't hear.
Even behind the scenes, you just never hear that he's a dickhead or anything like that.
You hear nothing but good, actually.
Yeah.
They called recently and asked if we'd fly out to Europe and do some shows then, but we couldn't.
So how long of a tour are you on right now with Snake Pit? Is this like all summer or what?
Well, actually, we're getting towards the end of it. We wanted to do 2 months, so we're getting, I think, the 18th of this month, we're going to, it's July now, so what, the 4th or the 5th? It's the 5th, right?
Right, today's the 5th.
So we're going to stop on the 18th, and then we are going to South America, and there's some European dates being discussed, and some other stuff. And at this point, I really want to go in and do another record, because it's about... It's been about, you know, in October it'll be a year since it was released, so
right.
I figure, you know, try album a year, let's try that, you know?
Right.
Now, great concept.
When you played it with AC/DC, though, it was basically the bulk of the material was from Ain't Life Grand. Will we hear more stuff from It's 5 O'Clock Somewhere?
No, you know what, times have changed. There was a time when you used to be able to go out and test new material. I know we don't have forever on the radio to talk about this stuff, but when we were doing Ain't Life Grand... Way, way, way before the record came out, when we were writing the material, I would book gigs, you know, like around the Southwest, you know, Southern California,
right.
or and like to the very edges of Southern California, almost to Mexico, and we would play songs that are on the record, some songs that aren't on the record, and do it just to test out new material in front of an audience, because that is really the hardest way. To go out and see how good your music is,
right.
How good the band is, and how positive the overall vibe is.
Right.
But at the same time, in this day and age, when you go out and you start playing new material, someone out there is taping it on Napster in a second,
Right.
And
Napster.
Napster makes an appearance. Yeah. It's funny to hear people say, and now in this day and age, no matter what year we do these, then you know, this one happened to be 2001. That was 18 years ago. He's saying in this day and age.
Yeah. And so much has changed since then.
Oh, my gosh.
Napster is not an issue anymore.
Yeah.
Nope. Not like in the old days where you bootleg something and you could pick it up in the store, you know, like a small record store or something. And I always thought that was sort of cool. I always thought bootleg stuff was cool.
Yeah.
But now it gets all over the internet and your record's out a year before it's even released.
Right. That's not right.
So we decided to hide the new material and keep it till the release of the album. And so we'll play all of Ain't Life Grand, which we weren't doing during the AC/DC tour, just some of it,
right,
plus some of the other stuff that we do.
And
plus it's our own gig, so it's just complete Snake Pit environment.
Cool. And everybody is the same guys in the band that we're hearing?
Yeah, same guys.
Okay. And once again, Slash will be at Vintage Vinyl signing stuff. You'll sign Guns N' Roses stuff, won't you, Slash?
Yeah, I signed the Guns N' Roses stuff. The other guys sort of, you know, I was in that band.
Right.
Well, I said the other guys what?
They won't sign the Guns N' Roses stuff because he was like, I wasn't in that band.
Oh.
So that's what he was saying. Okay. I'll blame him.
Vintage Vinyl tomorrow.
You know, usually the coolest thing to do as far as just... good etiquette is whatever gun stuff you have, it's cool, I'll sign it, but always bring a Snake Pit thing with you.
Right.
So that, you know, the whole band can sign that.
Well, that they can...
means you went out and actually bought a Snake Pit record.
Right, they can buy it right there.
Right.
So.
To anybody who goes, well, I didn't buy a Snake Pit record, they have them at the record store.
And it's called Ain't Life Grand, and Slash can't wait to see you tomorrow night, man. It's going to be a rocking show.
It's going to be so killer.
And it's always good to talk to you, and... once again, happy anniversary, and we'll see you. See you tomorrow night.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, the riot.
Oh, you call this? Is this exactly the day?
No. It was Tuesday, actually.
It was Tuesday.
Yeah,
okay,
this is Tuesday.
Right. when you said that, I was thinking, yeah, it's like really close to it.
Yep.
Anyway,
that was it.
Sorry again. I sound stupid about that, but I just don't have a good time clock in my head from one thing to the
That's
other.
Okay, buddy. That's why I'm here talking. I've got the clock in my
That's
head.
What you're there for.
All right, yeah. Slash. We'll see you tomorrow night, dude.
No, thanks, man. I'll talk to you later, though.
Okay. All right, Slash. Thanks a lot, man. Okay.
All right, there you go.
There it was.
Good interview.
Thank you.
Excellent.
He's a fun guy, man, and the show is great. He's going to be great this coming Saturday. Although I just saw last night on Twitter, I don't know if you saw it, I retweeted it. His drummer is having emergency retina surgery. And so I don't know if it's the roadie or somebody else is taking his place.
Oh.
So that'll be kind of weird Saturday. We won't have his normal drummer.
What would your opinion be of his career outside of Guns N' Roses?
I think it's been, as far as you're looking at album sales and all that stuff, non-existent.
Yeah.
Really. But as far as, you know, somebody that you know, I think I have all of his stuff. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I think the quality of his work is off the charts good.
Yeah.
But how he fits into what's going on in rock and roll these days anymore is questionable. You know, I'm actually not questionable, but it seems tougher for an artist like that to make way. You know, he doesn't sing. He's just a guitarist.
Right. Right.
And those guys have always kind of struggled to find their way. Going back to the days of Jeff Beck and, Robin Trower and all of them, you know, had to have somebody sing for them.
Right.
So they've struggled in that regard. But as far as his quality of work goes, he's as good as has ever come along.
Yeah. And he's got a good singer, Miles Kennedy, who has been with him now for a number of years. It didn't start out that way. It was a guy named Eric. I don't remember his first name, but I drove him around one day when the first time they came through town. And he's always had good singers, but Miles by far is the best. And does he need to make other albums? I don't think he does. He doesn't need to.
You know, I think for him, it's a labor of love. He loves what he's doing, loves the business. And that's good to see for anybody, you know, doing what you love to do.
You know, our second most downloaded podcast, John, is the podcast, I forgot what episode it was. It was early on. The one that I did, that we did, Slash and Duff from the Pageant.
Yeah.
That is number two.
Is
right
it really?
Behind Shelley Grafman, who was the architect of Casey. That one from Slash and Duff is number two. So search that one out here on our Casey Tapes podcast. You can listen to that one, and then this one's really good too. Actually, he talks more about the riot in this podcast that we just did than he did the other one. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I do remember. All right, that's it. That's episode 44 of the Casey Tapes. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMAN, and on Instagram, I'm Johnny Hewlett.
Instagram, Twitter, Casey Guy, KC95 Favaz, Facebook.
AMF, adios.
AMF to you.
My friend.
Hey, okay.
The KC Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.